Father, we're so thankful to be here in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that each of us this morning would have a heart that is truly seeking you this morning. Lord, I pray this wouldn't just be another church service, but Lord, that you would come and meet and minister with each and every one of us this morning. May we hear your voice. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, so this sermon this morning is just, I guess the Lord knew I was going to be busy later in the week, and so about midweek, He started speaking to me as I was working, and I heard a songwriter say that when a song comes to you, that you better stop and write it down, because it can leave just that quick. Said middle of the night or whatever, you need to get up and write it down, the lyrics or whatever's being given to you. And y'all, the same thing can happen with a sermon, it seems like, that when the Lord begins to minister and speak, I have to write it down. And so the middle of this week, I really wish I could have preached this to y'all, because it was coming quicker than I could keep up. But the title of the message is being led into the desert. Okay, and so if you would open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm gonna try and just read through it and then go back over this, and I don't know. Let's just see where the Lord takes us. Okay, Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." That's going to be the main emphasis of this sermon. Okay, but let's read the rest of this. It says, "After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" You know, that if factor is still present today, okay? If, Satan is always saying, if you're really a Christian, would you really act like that? If you're really a child of God, would you have just had that thought? If you're really, Satan is still putting those doubts, those things in our thoughts and in our mind today to try and get us to question. He did it with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's doing it here to Jesus. He does it to us today. If you're really, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." You guys see how Satan even uses the Word of God to mess with us? He still does that today. That's why it's so important we know the Word. Not just a verse here, not just a verse there, not just taking this out of the Bible, but that we know the entirety of the Word. That we're not just plucking this verse out and this verse out, but we're reading chapters and we're understanding and we're asking the Holy Spirit to open our eyes as we read. We're not reading to just read. We're reading to learn, to be ministered to. Okay? It's not just a check mark. I read my devotional. I read my chapter today. But it's inviting the Holy Spirit. It's inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to get to know Him. And see, we can take an idea. We can take something out of the Bible and it can lead us so astray. And that's what Satan was trying to do here. He's using the Word of God. Verse 7, Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. So I want to go back to the beginning. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. I looked up what a definition of a desert is. It's a waterless, desolate area of land with little or no vegetation, typically one covered with sand, a dry and barren area. And so as I was thinking about that, and he was led there. He was led there, okay? He was led to dry and barren land. How many of us may be in a desert right now? How many of us are maybe in that dry and barren land in our life and in our personal life and in our business life and in our spiritual life? Maybe we feel like we're in a desert. Maybe we feel like that it's barren around us and there's no hope. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands." So where are you at today? Are you in the land flowing with milk and honey, or are you in the desert? Maybe if you're in the desert, have you ever stopped and thought, what's really inside of me? That maybe I'm at this moment in my life, maybe I'm living in this moment that I feel like I'm in a barren land because the Lord wants to see what I'm really made of, so that we can see what we're really made of, so that our eyes might be open. Am I really going to trust in Him? As I was thinking about a desert, and I thought of so many people that maybe are dealing with loneliness. Maybe they're dealing with isolation. There's not much more of a thought of a desert to me and loneliness and isolation. A desert, you're out there and there's nothing, right? No vegetation. Can't spit it out. It's sand and there's not life. And I know many struggle with that loneliness. You might be sitting in here in this packed out church we got this morning, and you might be feeling very lonely. I feel so isolated. Nobody relates to me. Nobody understands. I feel like I'm the only one. You know, a desert could be the floods and people's going through right now. In Fort Smith, their homes maybe is underwater. They feel like they're in a place where there might not be any hope. They don't know if hope's coming. They had no insurance and their homes are being destroyed. And what are we going to do? You know, a desert could be depression. You look at the people around you and in the workplace and people's popping pills and using drugs, using alcohol, using legal things, using sex, using all these things, entertainment to try and fill this depression, to try and give them some sense of joy, some sense of happiness. That's a desert. Because in a desert, oftentimes there's never any place that you feel satisfied. The sun's beating down, there's no water. If you're just hurting, I thought of people with pain, back pains, arthritis, a guy at the ball game Friday night I used to work with, and I got to talking to him, and his son come up and he introduced me to his son. He's 15 years old. He's that tall. And the boy walked away, and I said, I was trying to remember. It's been 6 or 7 years ago. I said, wasn't there something wrong with your son? He said, juvenile arthritis. He said he was in terrible pain for years. He said he doesn't even have to take medicine anymore. He's doing great. Praise the Lord. This man's a believer. Praise the Lord. But pain and hurt. You could feel like you're in a desert. loss of a job, of money, of family members. You've lost your mom or dad. I shared with y'all in Sunday school a man I delivered to, a man I've been ministering to, trying to get him to see. Thursday I'm there and I could just tell something was up. I said, "Are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Are you really?" He said, "I just got some bad news." Lifelong friend of his, a girl he grew up with, husband dropped dead this week, 44 years old. Said he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he lived healthy. He was a good man. He's got a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old at home. And this man begins to tear up because he lost his dad when he was young. Some of you have experienced loss more than I have, and that feeling of being in the desert. Jesus was led to the desert to be tempted. How do we handle being in the desert? How are you handling it? How are you doing this morning? I mean, really, that's the question in Deuteronomy. The Lord said, I led you out there to know what was really in your heart. So this morning, what's really in your heart? Where are you really at? You think about it, after Jesus, verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. He was hungry, right? And then he's out there with the tempter. The tempter came to him and said, if. See, sometimes when we're in the desert, Satan will come and he'll try to meet the need. And it can be a very, very real need. Okay, this was a very real need. Jesus was hungry. He hadn't ate for 40 days and 40 nights. And in your life, maybe you're really lonely. Maybe you're really in pain. Maybe you're really depressed. Maybe it can be something very, very real. Is anybody getting this morning, or am I just preaching to myself, okay? It can be a very, very real need. And Satan can come and say, "Hey, you could do this. It'll meet your need. You can do that, and it'll meet your need." Y'all, I have all these examples running through my mind of how Satan can do that and to trick us. Hey, get involved in this area, get involved in that, and it'll meet your need. But whatever you do, don't turn to Jesus. See, that's what Satan's trying. And whatever you do, don't turn to Jesus. And here, sometimes when we're in the middle of the desert, Satan's coming and trying to meet our needs. He sees where we're hungry at. He sees what area of life where we're lacking. And he tries to get us to compromise. To compromise in the desert. You may not be getting all your needs met. And so he says, just come here and do this. Nobody's ever going to know. You're out in the middle of a desert. Nobody's going to see. Nobody's going to ever really know what you're doing. It's hidden. Your secret's safe with me. Genesis 25:27. Says the boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of the red stew. I'm famished." Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore on an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Y'all, Esau was starving. He's famished. He had a need. He had a need. And he sold his birthright to just get some stew. You know, sometimes when we're in the desert, we can be to that point of famine, of, "I'm so lonely, I'm so depressed, I'm so hungry, I have nobody, I feel so isolated." And Satan comes and just tempts us with just a little bit of compromise, just a little bit right here. and you'll feel better. But oh, how it can cost you greatly if you give in to that. Y'all, we have to be so aware of Satan and his tactics. And we have to be so aware that when we're even in the desert of what's really taking place here. Jesus was led. Maybe you're being led. Maybe because when every time Satan come at Jesus with the Word of God, how did Jesus come back at him? With the Word of God. Right? But with the truth of the Word of God. And see, I think some of us, we get out in the desert and we get so alone and so I've had a rough day at work. I'm just going to be honest here. I've had a rough day at work. And usually what I want to do is one of two things. I want to come in, I want to be left alone, I want to turn on the TV, and I don't want anybody to talk to me. Or now that it's summertime, you guys might think this is weird. I'll put on my headphones and I'll get outside on my mower and I'll mow and listen to music and be left alone. But you know what I really should be doing is I should be opening up the Word of God. When I don't feel like it, I should be opening up the Word of God. But when I open up the Word of God, then that means I have to think. That means I have to read. That means, you know, if I watch the TV, I can just be, whatever. I'm entertained. See, what Satan loves to do is to entertain. He loves to make you feel good for the moment. See, when he's tempting Jesus, turn this into bread. Jump off of here. And he's trying to meet this quick need with the bread. But Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, we have to know the Word of God in order to combat where Satan's trying to lead us astray. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. I should have gave Amanda the verses to put them up there because that's a really good verse. You guys should write that one down. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. See, what happens is we're in the desert. And the flesh begins to take control. And the flesh begins to cry out. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. My needs aren't being met. And the flesh, and the lust of the flesh begins to grab us. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else seems so full of joy, so full of happiness. And I'm all alone here. And I'm trying to live for Jesus, yet I'm the only one suffering. Make no provision for the flesh. My eyes see the flesh all around me, right? My eyes see they've got this and they've got that. My eyes lead me here and my eyes lead me there. But make no provision for the flesh. See, we need to decide what kind of people we're going to be. If we're going to be a people that listens to the tempter, that listens to the flesh and all of its desires, to follow those influences, or are we going to make no provision for them? It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm going to make no provision for it. You know, I've seen stories in the one movie, the guys went down in World War II, I believe, and was out in the middle of the ocean on that life raft, and the guy Zamborini, I can't think of the movie, and he kills a shark with his bare hands. You guys know what movie I'm talking about? And Unbroken? Yeah, Unbroken. It's a Christian movie. And he's out in the middle of the in the middle of the ocean. And they're dying with the sun beating down on them. But they know they can't drink the ocean water. Right? Because it's full of salt. Think of that, how tempting that would be. You're surrounded by water, but you can't drink any. Y'all, for many of us, we're surrounded by all these things. This seems so good. This seems so pleasing. This seems like, yeah, That'll bring me joy. That'll bring me happiness. That'll meet my needs. And all the while, Satan's whispering, if you'd only, you wouldn't have to suffer from depression. You wouldn't have to suffer from loneliness. You wouldn't have to suffer with that hurt, with that pain. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago. I can't remember who it was. And they was talking about pills. And they said, you know, with the pills, I thought it was taking care of the pain. But you know, really what was happening is I just didn't care about the pain. And really, I didn't care about anything while I was on those pills. But as soon as I come off that pill, the pain was still there. And all my problems were still there, so it really wasn't helping anything. It was all still there. I just didn't care. If you'll just do this. And all around you, it seems like the world's gaining and the world's doing good. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And see, where we need to get in our lives, in the desert that you might be in, is understanding, Father, that only you can meet my needs. Not all this junk of the world, not everything going on. So how many of us, while we're in the desert, fill our lives with the Word, or are we focused on the lack, the need that we have? See, You know, people love drama. You guys know that? Like, do you guys work with people that love drama? This week with all the flooding and everything going on and man, it was like I couldn't even hardly stand to be in the break room because everybody's talking about how bad everything is, and I understand it is bad, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and we shouldn't even be running, and we shouldn't even be doing this, and they was talking, and I was getting ready to have to go up Highway 59, and man, you better be careful, it's like right there on the road, and they're just feeding off the drama from each other, and man, and they're about to close it down. Y'all, I promise you, I'm not making light of the flooding at all. But when I went on Highway 59, it was like the water was still 8 foot away. It wasn't right there coming up on the... And I'm like, why are they saying that? Why did they say that? Drama. They love it. They love the drama. They love, you know, conflict. They love, you know, and it's like anything wrong at work and it gets blown up. And see, for many of us, we focus, and when we're in the desert, we focus on the sand. We focus on the drama because it builds and it builds and it builds. Instead of focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us think when we're in the desert, no one can see. Nobody's going to know if we just give in once. But this morning, do you really have integrity? Do you really have integrity to be honest, strong moral principles? Do you really have integrity even when nobody's looking? Because see, when you're out in the desert, you might feel like nobody's looking, but God's looking. And when I was thinking about all this, I just kept thinking about Cain and Abel, and we're going to end with that. Genesis 4, verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. There's never a time in my life, I think, that I recognize sin more than when I'm in a desert. It's the easy way out. It's the easy way to go back to, you know, I've had friends that's tried to kick habits. And then they get in a little crisis and they go right back to that habit. I had a friend that was sober for several years. He had some tragedy in his life. He's back on the bottle again and has been for several years now. I heard him say this week, "Yeah, I stopped drinking about 9:30 last night," and everybody starts laughing. It breaks my heart. Something went wrong. He was in a desert, and so instead of turning to the Lord, he went back to what was familiar, what would numb the pain. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. Maybe, you know, last week when we was reading, we read when they enter the promised land, when their bellies are full and their houses and their barns and they're satisfied, do not forget about the Lord. Maybe today your life is great. Everything's going good. Don't forget about the Lord. But maybe you're in the desert. Maybe you're in the desert. Either place you are, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. Give no place for the flesh. Give no provision for the flesh. And maybe today, if you're in the desert, you need to stop and you need to think, Jesus was led there to be tempted. Deuteronomy 8:2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert for those 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. So I guess my question to you this morning is, how are you handling it? Good? Bad? The isolation? The joy? How are you handling it? Is Jesus Christ your rock? Is He your strength? Do you know that you know Him? Do you know that you know His Word? So that Satan can't trick you, so that Satan can't fool you. Y'all, that's why I think it's so important that you have your Bibles here at church. So that you're following along with me. So I don't trick you. I don't want to trick you. But what if? When I used to do the youth, well, I do the youth again. But years ago when I was youth minister, and I told the kids, I said, would you trust me to hang you off of a 100-story skyscraper by your fingertips? No. No, I wouldn't trust me to hold you off of it. I'm not that strong, but you're trusting me with even more when you're not reading your Bible and you're not following along because you're trusting me with your eternity. You need to be opening up your Word. You need to be checking what I'm saying. Your eternal soul matters. Where are you at this morning? Sin, Satan, is crouching at your door and he desires to have you. Let's stand. Y'all, I really want you to think about this message, and I really hope the Holy Spirit has spoke to you this morning. And if you're in a desert this morning, you don't have to stay there. The Lord says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And He's there with you today. But Satan is there trying to destroy us, trying to destroy your life. And what are you made of? What's coming out? Father, we come before You now. And Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way now with every heart, with every mind, with every person that's in here, Lord. Maybe they're in a place right now that they're putting on a good act and they're putting on a good show. But Lord, they might be miserable. They might be hurting on the inside. Lord, I pray that they would understand that they need to turn to You this morning. Lord, that when we're being tested, when we're in these trials, that we would recognize what's coming out of us. Are we taking the easy way out, or are we turning to the ways of the world, the things that pleases our flesh, the things that give immediate gratification? Or Father, are we making no provision for that, and we're trusting in You, even in the storm, even in the trials? Are we trusting You, Father? Holy Spirit, come. Breathe upon this congregation this morning. May You speak a fresh and new word to each and every one of us this morning, Lord Jesus, that Your anointing would be here, and that You'd begin to minister right now. Lord, that we know that Your angels are around us, ready to attend, ready to minister. Lord, may we turn to You now. In Jesus' mighty name. Y'all, if you need prayer this morning for anything, please come to these altars. If you're struggling with anything, any of the isolation, the depression, the addictions, Jesus Christ can set you free this morning. Altars are open. Please don't ever feel like you're all alone. If you're struggling this morning, first turn to the Lord. Open up your Bible. But don't let pride keep you from coming to friends and family that love you and care about you too. And don't let Satan trick you into thinking that you're all alone and nobody cares. Because people care. They care. If you give them an opportunity to care, they may blow you out of the water with how much they do care if you give them opportunity. We'll have Bible study tonight at 6:30. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.
I couldn't run from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms.